and you are sitting by my side. So she said, yes. Said, so my conclusion is, whenever you are by my side, I have problems. She must have been expecting he will appreciate, you know. That whenever I have difficulties, you have stood by me and helped me. But rather, he was putting the blame on her. So most of the time, and I want to also add one thing before I begin, that I will be saying we and you in the lecture. It is just a general way of talking. Like, we normally do this, you normally would do this. So don't take it personally. Maybe some of you, these things may not apply. Most of these things apply to me. When I speak, I generally speak for myself. I generally take a topic because I need to work on myself with regard to that topic. And speaking to all of you makes me more conscious about not making these mistakes in my own life. And that is why I'll be saying we and you instead of saying I every time. So don't take it personally. So most of us, we play this blame game. We tend to blame others for our weaknesses or our mistakes. If we are late, we blame the traffic. In Bombay, it's so convenient. If we really want to be on time, we want to be punctual, then we already know that in Bombay there is traffic. So keeping a safe margin, we can leave early. But we generally tend to leave little late or just on time, and then we blame the traffic. One of our devotees, he once mentioned, he said that if you leave 5 minutes late, you reach half an hour late, because everything escalates. Now I came from Borivali. If I miss one train, fast train, the next train is Dadar, then the next train is Andheri, then the next train is Churchgate. That means I came 5 minutes late, but I will reach 20 minutes late. And invariably on that day, I will not get a taxi from Grand Road Station and I will reach late. So knowing that this is the nature of events, I should plan so that I reach in time for that first train. Right? But what do? I conveniently say, the train itne dheere se aayi, main late pahunch gayi. Actually, main aapko wohi kehne wali thi aaj. Or if we are overweight and people say, arre kitni moti ho gayi, kya kare, hereditary hai. It's in my genes. What to do? Mere dada, mere par dada, sab mote the. Sometimes my daughter tells me, she tells me ki, mummy, bachpan ne kitna khila khila ke hum logo ko mota kar diya. Now we have so much difficulty losing weight. So we conveniently we blame it on others. Then sometimes we may have some bad habits and we'll blame it on our upbringing. What to do? The atmosphere is like that. The environment in the house is like that. That is why I behave like this. You can't blame me. So generally we have a tendency to play the blame game. What does the blame game mean? That whenever anything wrong happens, we look around. Whom can I blame for this? Who is responsible for this? And everything or everyone around us, we want to blame. We saw the drama right now. When something good was happening, who did it? Me and me only. And when something wrong happens, kisne kiya? Who is it? Like we are looking for somebody. Somebody to catch. Kisi ke gale pe wo fansi ka phanda latka dena hai. So that is the natural tendency. So we said we end up blaming someone. And most of the time, when we can't find anyone to blame, then we blame God. Hey Bhagwan, aapne mere saath aisa kyun kiya? No? So many Hindi movies have the hero ringing the bells loudly. Maine suna tha, tumhare ghar mein der hai, andher nahi hai. Arre, but aapne kya kiya ab tak? Wo dhyan rakho. Most of the time, if you see Mahabharat, entire Mahabharat is blame game. Dhritarashtra was blaming, right from childhood he was blaming everyone around him. He was always the victim, the martyr. Our Gopal's Garden children went to a school for the blind. And there these blind children were making very beautiful statues of Shivaji and Ganesh, you know, with their hands. So somebody asked them that, how do you manage? You don't have eyes, how do you manage to do this? And they said, our eyes are here, in our fingers. And then somebody must have sympathized with them, oh, you don't have eyes, still you are doing. So they said, please, we don't want sympathy. We just want opportunity, so that we can progress. As against that, if you compare Dhritarashtra, he had all the opportunity, actually. He had all the opportunity to do well. If you analyze Dhritarashtra's past, actually he was blind because of his karma. Many lifetimes back, as a hunter, he had killed 100 fledglings and he had blinded the parent birds. That is why he was born blind. His wife had to literally, actually live as a blind woman, and all of his 100 children were killed. But in spite of that, if he wanted, he could have lived comfortably. He had all the opportunity. He had two wonderful brothers, Vidura and Pandu. He had Bhishma Dev to protect him. He had all the opulence, but he chose to be a victim all his life and blame and crib. That is why he could not make the best use of the opportunity. So, it's everything and everyone around me that makes my life difficult. That is the attitude. Because of them I am suffering. Because of this event I am suffering. But actually, if we analyze, it's not because of unfortunate events or people that we suffer. Sometimes there might be things which are beyond our control. There are some things which we can control. There would be some situations which are beyond our control. For example, the family in which we are born, the body which we have received, our parents, something, disease, death, it may be beyond our control. But those are not the things which make us suffer. It is our response to those things which make us suffer. Because those are predetermined. We can't do anything about it. We will discuss this later. But it is our response. How do we respond when we are put in a given situation? When we say, who is responsible? It doesn't mean, whom do I have to blame? It means, who is able to make the right response? Are you responsible? Can you make the right response in a given situation? Because that's all we have control over. Other things are already fixed, right? Because of destiny, they are fixed. But if you have read the scriptures or heard from the scriptures, you will be shocked to know that you are responsible for even that. Why? Because whatever you have done in your previous lives is now your destiny. Right? Whatever you have done earlier, now that becomes your karma. And according to your karma, you will get your present situation, your present body, your present parents, your job, your wife, your children, and so on. So that you cannot control. Okay, in your past life you did something, because of that in this life you have the situation. But now how you respond to that, that is in our control. For example, Gandhari, she was pregnant. Okay, she had the benediction that she would beget 100 sons. Now both of them, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, had the hope. Dhritarashtra could not become the king because he was blind. But he had the hope that if I have a son before Pandu has a son, then my son, being older, would naturally become the king. So Gandharvi became pregnant, Kunti still didn't have children. But then Kunti used the mantra that Durvasa Muni had given her, and Yudhishthir was born before Gandhari gave birth. And Gandhari was so upset, so angry when this happened. She was filled with poison, actually. She had no hatred against Kunti. But just the thought that her son would not become the king, and that was the expectation that her husband had from her also, that pressure also was there. She became so angry and so upset that she banged her stomach, her womb, very roughly, very, very hard. And what happened? She gave birth to a mass of flesh. Then later on, by Vedvyasa's mercy, that flesh was divided into 100 parts and it was kept. And by mantra, 100 sons were born from that. But what happened? Because she was full of hatred, full of envy, jealousy and anger, she transferred those very emotions to all those 100 children. The sons who were born with envy and hatred for the Pandavas. So she actually created a wrong legacy. So she incriminated herself and her children in more karma. We know that when somebody is pregnant, whatever they think, whatever they say, whatever they do, whatever they eat has an effect on the child in the womb. That is why it is very important that women, especially, very, very important, you are so powerful. You have the power to create the next generation. So you have the power to impart a good culture to those children if you follow certain principles and values in your own life. So before a child is born, you should do some tapasya. Voluntarily you should take on austerity, you should chant, you should hear, read from the scriptures, so that you can purify yourself, and the child who is born will be born with those values. That is called garbhadhan samskara. Gandhari knew all this. She was very learned in the scriptures, but she was so angry, she could not control, and this is what she did, and as a result Duryodhan was born. So we have to be very, very careful about these things. What is our response? How do we behave? If something negative happens in our life, we have two choices. One is, three actually. One is, we can blame someone and then sit not doing anything. Second is, we can go into depression. And third is, we can do something positive. We can think, what should I do now? Okay, now this has happened. Now what should I do about this? Right? So if we think that I will not do anything negative, if I will not think negative, then automatically we start doing the positive thing. Most of the time we take shelter of the blame game so that we can remain inactive. We can remain like a passenger rather than becoming the driver of our car. That means we don't want to take charge of our life. We just want to lead our life and keep blaming others for the things that happen to us. But no, that is not how it is meant to be. We should take charge of our life, analyze if something is going wrong, why it is going wrong, and understand that we have the power and potential to correct the situation. Now there is a very, very inspiring story. How many of you have heard of Indutai Sapkal? Many have heard. Any one of you would like to tell? You would like to speak about her? Take the mic and speak.
Hare Krishna.
Louder, it's not.
Hare Krishna. Audible. Well, Indutai Sapkal, she was married at a very early age, and she got pregnant, and then her son died.
Or husband threw her out.
Husband threw her out because of some reason, and everybody in the family just outcast her. So she had a very difficult time raising her children, and basically her whole life was full of difficulties. And she had only one daughter, and after that I'm not sure. But then she developed whole institution.
She actually, she was thrown out by her husband when she was pregnant, and she had to actually beg for food because she knew she, otherwise the child in the womb would die. Now any other woman in that situation, what would she have done? She could have done, become negative, gone into depression, killed herself. So many farmers are hanging themselves. But what did she do? She thought out of the box. There is a saying that most folks can't find their way out of the box because they refuse to visualize anything but the enclosure around them. If you are just seeing that I'm, you know, it's closed on all four sides, I can't do anything, then you'll not do anything. But if you look up, you see it's open up. How many of you have heard the story about the donkey whose owner wanted to kill him? There was one donkey who became very old and was not able to carry loads. So his master thought that now I should get rid of him, because now he is just a burden. I have to feed him, he can't do any work. So this donkey while walking fell into a pit. So farmer was trying to remove him from the pit, and the villagers came and said, why are you removing? Put mud, idhar hi dafna do. You anyway wanted to get rid of him, you bury him. So the farmer started putting, they started bringing mud and putting inside the pit. Every time one layer of mud came down, the donkey would shake his body so that the mud would fall off and he would climb onto that layer. Again one more layer, again he would shake. In this way, they were putting mud to bury him, but he climbed on each layer and he came out. Right? So it depends on us, how we want to lead our life. Indutai Sapkal, she sat and thought, I am suffering like this because my husband has thrown me out. God knows how many other women must be like this. Helpless, homeless, without any financial support. Her own family didn't take her back. She went to her parents, they said no. That traditional orthodox thinking. You know, pati devta hai, he has thrown you, don't come here. So no support, so many women must be suffering like this. So she took on that cause. She became so powerful that now today, she is helping so many women to become independent and giving them stability and giving them means by which they can earn their livelihood. So through a financial crisis or through emotional crisis, we can break down or we can come out of it and actually help others. That is our choice. There was a very famous tennis player called Arthur Ashe, and once he was a Wimbledon champion and he contracted AIDS. So once his fan, one of his fans, wrote a letter to him that, how could this happen to you? You are so dear to everyone and you are winning the Wimbledon. How could God let this happen to you? So Arthur Ashe, in a very mature way, replied to him. He said that there are very few people who play tennis. Okay, out of those few, there might be a few who play professional tennis. Of those, very few might qualify for the Grand Slam, Wimbledon. And of those few, very few, just four can win or two can win the championship. And I won it. When I won it, I didn't ask God, why me? Why not all of them? He said, then now, when I am suffering, why should I ask God, why me? It's a very mature way of thinking. When good things happen in our life, we don't ask, why me? We think that, oh, I must have done something good in my past life, that is why I am getting these good things. But when we suffer, God, why me? There was one rabbi called Howard Kushner, and he was a very devout person. But his son, at the age of 14, he died because he had a disease called progeria, where you age prematurely and you die. After his son died, he lost faith in God. He wrote a book called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Then there was another person whom all of you know, Charles Darwin. He was a very devout Catholic, but his son died because of some disease and he lost faith in God, and then he came up with this theory of evolution. So how people suffer, but different people choose to respond in different ways. So by our actions, we can determine what our responses and what our future reactions are going to be. We have created our own destiny. There was a carpenter who used to build beautiful houses, and he wanted to retire. He was tired now, physically and mentally tired. So he went to his master and he said, now I want to retire. So master said, just one last house you build and then you go. So he grudgingly agreed. He didn't want to do it. He just did it. He did a very sloppy job. He used inferior materials and he didn't really do it well. And then he went to the master and he said, I'm done. This house is ready. So the master gave him the key and said, this house is for you. It's my parting gift to you. पहले बताया होता अच्छा बना देता था नहीं इफ आई न्यू अर्लियर आई वुड हैव मेड यू नो मजबूत आई वुड हैव मेड इट वेरी स्ट्रांग एंड आई वुड हैव मेड इट रियली गुड आई डिडंट नो दिस माय ओन हाउस बट दैट्स व्हाट ऑल ऑफ अस आर डूइंग एवरी टाइम वी थिंक वी टॉक वी एक्ट वी डू समथिंग वी आर पुटिंग वन ब्रिक इन द नेक्स्ट हाउस येट व्हेन वी गेट द की टू द हाउस गॉड व्हाई डिड आई गेट दिस हाउस व्हाई डिड शी गेट दैट हाउस उसने जो ईट डाले उसको मिल गया वॉट एवर ब्रिक्स शी हैज पुट शी हैज गॉट दैट टाइप ऑफ हाउस वॉट एवर यू हैव पुट यू हैव गॉट that type of house. Whether you can control the situation or not, change the situation or not, at least we should be conscious for this one thing, simple thing. I am responsible. I can't blame anybody else. But now, how we respond to the situations we are put in will create more karma, good or bad. So now we are in control. Now we are in control of our future. So what we have now is because of past. But if we want to ensure the future, then we should live a life based on values, good principles. We should do a karma, not bad karma. We should do things which will not generate more and more karma. And how to do that? We should read the Bhagavad Gita. If I go into that, the whole lecture will go on that. So we should be conscious that what I'm eating is what I have cooked. Right? Like sometimes my daughters are here. If I comb their hair when they go to school, they are so conscious. They sometimes measure it like this to see whether it's symmetrical from the back. And if it's even slightly teda, they crimp so much. So now I have outsourced. I tell them, you comb it yourself. And when they comb it, if it's anyhow, they quietly go. Why? Because they know khud banaya hai. They can't say anything. So when we know that whatever we are today is because of me, because of my actions, then we will not blame others. Whatever I am receiving, whatever I am in, is because of what I have done in the past. Then we will not blame others. So if we respond in a positive and mature way, the way Arthur Ashe responded, then there are possibilities that in future, our chances for happiness will improve. For example, when somebody does something wrong, they are put in jail, right? But when they are in jail, they are given hard work, sometimes breaking rocks and so many things. But they are under observation also. They are being observed by the jail warden. How does this person do his work? How does he interact with the inmates of the jail? Does he follow the jail rules? Is he positive? How is he? And if he is, if they find that he is doing everything very sincerely and behaving in a proper way, then sometimes, many a times, his sentence can be reduced. He can be given better facilities in the same jail. Same thing applies to us. We have an opportunity to change our karma. Karma is fixed from our previous life. But what we are doing today can help us. Srila Prabhupada used to say, when we clap our hands in kirtan, our lines are changing. Why? Because when we are doing kirtan, that is also tapasya. That is a yajna. The holy names are like offering ghee into the yajna. It's like saying swaha. When we are chanting the holy names, it's like a tapasya. So when we chant the holy names, then what happens? Slowly, slowly, slowly our karmas change. There is one story of one man. He was going to meet his lover. And he was holding a lotus flower in his hand and crossing a river. And suddenly there was a flood and he drowned. But before he drowned, he had this flower. He thought, chalo kuch to achha kar le. So he was wise. He said, Shri Krishna Namaha, and he threw that flower. So he was taken to Yamraj. You are such a sinful person. You are destined to rot in hell forever. But you did one good thing. What was that? You threw that flower and you said Krishna Namaha. So for just a minute, you will go to the heavenly planets. So they took him there. And when he went, there were so many beautiful flowers over there. Now he had a choice. He could have cribbed. Kya fayda? 1 minute ke liye leke jayenge. Better I go to Narak Kuni directly. What is the use of going for 1 minute? Huh? Sometimes kids crib na. You are allowing me to see TV only for half an hour. Better I don't see only. So, but he went. He went. And there he could have looked out for apsaras, tried to see where is the somras kept. But what did he do in that 1 minute? Can anyone guess? He plucked as many flowers as he could in that 1 minute. Shri Krishna Namaha, Krishna Namaha, Krishna Namaha, Krishna Namaha, in that 1 minute. And at the end of that 1 minute, when he was taken to Yamraj, Yamraj was sitting like this. What did you do? Pura change. Okay? I'll have to relocate you now. You are not going to hell anymore. So, it is our choice. Always we are blaming, but actually the choice is ours. When Gajendra, have any of you heard about Gajendra? There was a great devotee called Indradyumna. He was cursed to become an elephant because of a very small offense that he had committed. So as elephant, he was Gaja Indra. He was the king of elephants. Elephants, very powerful. So one day when he was in the water, he was in a lake, a crocodile came and caught hold of his legs. And he couldn't free himself because in the water, crocodile is more powerful. Elephant is more powerful on land. And all his family members were standing and watching. The entire herd was standing and watching helplessly. So Gajendra could have blamed them that when everything was good, all of you were with me and now none of you are trying to help me. He could have cursed the crocodile, he could have cursed his fate. But he realized, I can't do anything. First he tried. He tried to free himself. But when he realized, I can't do anything, he saw a lotus flower in the lake. He picked up the lotus with his trunk and he offered it to the Lord. And he started offering beautiful prayers. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an entire chapter dedicated to Gajendra's prayers. It's called Gajendra Moksha. And when he did that, the Lord, it is described that the Lord came on Garuda to save him. And the Lord was so pleased by Gajendra's response that Gajendra was not grumbling, complaining, blaming. Rather, he was taking shelter of the Lord. So what did the Lord do? He told Garuda, you are going too slow. So he picked up Garuda and he went so that he can reach fast. And as soon as he reached there, with his disc, he cut off the crocodile's head and he freed Gajendra, and Gajendra went back to Godhead. So it is in our hands. There's another story of Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi, he was destined to die when he was only 7 years old. And his father told him, doesn't matter. Your life is short, but whatever life is there, live a life of virtue and values. Whenever you see saints, sadhus, offer respects to them. So whenever he would see devotees of the Lord, he would offer obeisances. Full dandavat he would do. And they would bless him, you know, that Chiranjeevi Bhava, Chiranjeevi Bhava. May you live a long life. And when it was time for him to leave his body, Yamraj said that, I don't know what you have done, but your life is extended so much that even when pralaya takes place, when annihilation of the entire universe takes place, you won't die. I don't know how many of you have heard this story, but Markandeya Rishi lives even when pralaya takes place. So we have a chance. I'm not telling all of you to keep doing dandavat. In Kali Yuga, all of us will develop back problems. But whatever we can try to be positive. So we have to think that in the given situation, what can I do? There are problems, what can I do? Sometimes we are blamed for things we have not done. How many of you have that experience? Yeah? Especially when you are siblings. Right? So many times it happens. And you have to take the blame or maa daatti hai jab bhai ne kiya hota hai. Ya bhai ko daatti hai jab maa ne kiya hota hai. And my mother used to tell me, my mummy and my uncle had 7 years age difference. So he used to rag her like anything. So she used to want to take revenge. So what she used to do, she used to go in some room when he was somewhere and she used to say, Ashok, don't beat me, Ashok, don't beat me. So that the father or mother would come and beat the brother. So once the brother went in the kitchen and said, Mummy, see, I'm here. And she's shouting there. Nobody is there. Then the mother went and chastised her. So many times it happens. You are blamed for things which you have not done. So once a devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, they are blaming me for something I have not done. So then Prabhupada told him, you must in some life have taken credit for something you had not done. That is why now you have to be blamed for something you have not done. So what do we do? We are hearing about karma, destiny. Do we just sit and say, when something happens, we say, oh, this is my karma, I will just accept it. No. We are not fatalistic. But we are proactive. We think, whatever I need to do, I have to do. If I am sick, I have to go to the doctor. If I fail, I have to study again and appear for the exams again. Whatever is needed, we have to do that. Whatever we can change, we try to change. Right? We cannot carpet the earth, but we try to wear socks. Whatever can be done, we do it. But there will be situations which are beyond our control. then what do we do? That is where our response comes into the picture. We blame or we tolerate. There is a saying that the greatness of a person can be estimated by how one tolerates provoking situations. You have to travel by Bombay trains to appreciate this. Right? No reason, absolutely no reason, and still people fight. They don't realize that it is because of the situation that you are suffering. It is not because of her or her. The situation is that the crowd is too much, everybody is tired, there is no oxygen supply, people are almost on the verge of becoming unconscious. And just like when there are two trees in a forest, because of friction, spark comes and there is a forest fire. So, aise jhagde hote hain, but people don't keep quiet. They keep fighting. They go on and on. So, it's said that only two people can be peaceful. A fool or a self-realized person. Why a fool? Because he doesn't realize what's happening. It said that once one man was being beaten in the marketplace. Somebody was beating him and he was saying, "Maro Shamu ko, maro Shamu ko," and he was beating him. And this man was standing peacefully. So somebody came and said, "Are itna mar raha hai? You're not doing anything." He said, "Oh, to Shamu ko mar raha hai, main Ramu hu." So you have to be a fool, then you sit quietly. Or you have to be a sage, where you realize that I'm not the body. He's hitting my body. I'm not disturbed. So what do we do? When we are disturbed, when there are situations which are beyond our control, there are many things which people suggest. Like I was going through one site and there they suggested a remedy called BRICK. B-R-I-C-K. BRICK, B is for breathe. Breathe means you become peaceful. You breathe, do slow breathing, inhale, exhale, so that your mind becomes peaceful. Earlier they used to say count. You know, before you speak, count 1 to 10. But sometimes you come to 1 to 1000 and still you remain angry. So it's better to breathe. When we do slow breathing, then what happens? Our mind becomes peaceful. So when you become peaceful, then you can think clearly and then you can decide what needs to be done. When we are angry, when we are upset, sometimes we may take the wrong decisions. It was said that once a father and son, they went into the garden and they wanted to pluck some flowers and they saw that one tree has dried. And the son said, "Let's cut this for firewood." It was winter time. So the father said, "We should never cut a tree during winter. Let's wait till summer comes." So when summer came, they saw that there were beautiful flowers growing on that tree. So then the son said, "Oh, see, there are flowers growing." So the father said, "Yes, that's why I told you. Never cut a tree in winter. Never take a decision when you are disturbed, when you are angry, because it might be the wrong decision. So wait. First become peaceful. Take counsel from others before you actually take important decisions or even before you speak something, because you might regret it later. Second is recognize. Recognize your need. Sometimes we get angry with people. 1 minute. Can I get a chair from there? Can't sit here. We have to recognize our need. Sometimes we get angry with people around us because we feel they have not fulfilled our need. But sometimes they don't even know our need. We have not expressed it clearly what we want. We have not expressed clearly what is our need. And then we get upset and they are wondering why we are angry. And then there's so much misunderstanding, so much confusion is there. I remember once I went for a marriage and I saw one young girl looking very upset, very depressed. She was beautifully dressed and nice dress and jewelry. And it was her friend's marriage. So I asked the mother, "Why is she so upset?" She said, "Arey, isne ye designer suit kharida tha. Aur ek ladki ne aise pehna hai, to iska mood off ho gaya." So in some way, she was blaming that other girl for wearing the same suit. Now, what is the need to get so upset and so disturbed? But that's the way things are. People sometimes end up blaming others for no fault of theirs. So we have to be careful that what is our need? It's better that we express to others what we need or what we expect from them, rather than just blaming them. If we want to have good relationships, there are certain rules we have to follow. First thing is we have to understand that people are different. Everybody is not going to react or respond in the same way that I do. There are different people, there are different natures, there are different behaviors. I won't go into this because this is a whole lecture by itself. How people respond, how people have different expectation, how people think differently. And because of different natures, people will react differently. So if we want to maintain the relationship, we have to understand that if I really love this person, if I care for this person, then I have to accept this person as he or she is. I cannot expect that this person will change, and when they don't change, then I blame them. What is my need? I need them. Then I'm willing to compromise on my other things. My mother used to always tell me, win an argument, lose a friend. It's better to lose an argument than win a friend. Because the pain of losing a friend is more than pain of losing an argument. So rather than blaming, getting into the blame game, fighting, arguing, it's better to just let go. Because in a relationship, when there is affection, then we should not look for perfection. It's okay if there is no perfection. But there is affection, which is very rare in this world. So in any relationship, if we are getting even little affection, we should not get into this blame game or, you know, fault finding or criticism. Second, we should recognize opportunities. In every difficulty, there is a hidden opportunity. If you have heard the story of Arjuna, Arjuna was cursed by Urvashi to become a eunuch. Arjuna was learning dance from her and he was cursed because she wanted to enjoy with him. And he looked upon her as a mother. So she cursed him. You will become a eunuch. Now he could have gone into depression. But he took it positively that maybe there is some purpose. And really, when later on the Pandavas were supposed to stay in Agyatvas, incognito, Arjuna could disguise himself because he became a eunuch. So although it seemed like a big, dreadful curse, but it became a benediction for him. Even Lord Ram, if you see, when he was sent to the forest, he was banished when Kaikeyi told him. He tells Kaikeyi that, why did you have to tell father to tell me? You could have told me. Anyway, I was looking for an opportunity to stay in the forest because I wanted to have sadhu sangh and hear from the sages. But because of all these responsibilities, I am not able to go. Now you have given me this opportunity. Thank you, mother. And he goes. He doesn't complain. He doesn't blame. And actually he does that. In the forest, Ram and Sita stay with the sages. They take their association. They hear from them. They serve them. He also kills demons who are disturbing the sages, and he kills Ravana. So he uses that time very fruitfully, very productively he uses that time. So it depends on us. Every situation can be used in a positive way if we have the right attitude. So the first was breathing, second was recognize, third is initiate. We heard that story about the donkey, how he climbed on the layers and he came out. Imagine if you are standing there and saying, main tum pe court case karunga. Bechara, wo court jane ke pehle hi mar jata tha. What happens? That most of the time we get into arguments and we forget to do what is needed to be done. However the big the problem may be. Sometimes we may feel the problem is so big, I can't do anything. Let them put mud on me, main shaheed ho jaunga. But even if we take baby steps, what was the donkey doing? In one step he didn't come out. But he kept taking baby steps to come up. There's a story about the rat who fell into milk and he kept moving his legs. And soon a blob of butter came and he came up on that butter. I don't know if that really happens, but it's there in the story. So we have to stop blaming and we have to take initiative. We have to actually act. When Ram and Lakshman, when Sita was kidnapped, Ram chastised Lakshman. But why did you leave Sita alone? I had specifically told you. Now Lakshman could have started complaining. If it was Kali Yuga, Sita, how could she? She accused me. She was the reason. Don't blame me. So many years I have been serving you and now you talk like this. Go to hell. I don't want to have anything to do with you and Sita. I am going. He would have done that and gone if it was Kali Yuga. But it was not. Ram and Lakshman, two different personalities. But they stayed together. And Lakshman was serving Ram throughout. even after that. And they both worked together to get Sita back. Imagine if they would have started blaming each other and fighting there in the forest, Sita would have remained in Lanka forever. The fourth point is connect. First was breathe, second was recognize, third was initiate, fourth is connect. Connect to the right people, connect to people who are positive, who apply these principles in their life, apply the principle of gratitude, forgiveness. Forgiveness is very important. Why? Because otherwise you are carrying live coal in your hand. When you are carrying burning coal in your hand, what's happening? You are getting burnt. So to err is human and to forgive is divine. So we must learn to forgive. We must forgive and forget. We must learn to be grateful for whatever we receive. When we are grateful, we are full of gratitude, then we don't have place for complaints and negativity in our life. So we must connect to such people who can guide and support us. There is a story of Dhruva in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj, very famous in India. So Dhruva, he wanted to sit on his father's lap. When he went and sat on his father's lap, his stepmother came and roughly pulled him off. You don't deserve to sit on your father's lap. You are not born from my womb. Go, end this life and pray that you can be born from my womb again. Then maybe you can sit on your father's lap. So Dhruva was very hurt. He looked at his father for support and father just looked down because he couldn't fight with Suniti. Suruchi. She was his favorite queen. So Dhruva went very upset to his mother. And Suniti very sweetly pacified him. She said, it's true, I'm not the favorite queen of your father. And if you are disturbed, I suggest you go to the forest and you worship Lord Vishnu. Because by worshipping him, you will fulfill all your desires. And actually Dhruva did that. And he became a very great devotee. And he attained what he wanted. If you all want, you can read Srimad Bhagavatam to get the details of this story. What does this show us? Dhruva could have become very angry. What did Ravan do when Shurpanakha came and complained? What guidance did Ravan give Shurpanakha? I will kill Ram, don't worry. And then what guidance did Shurpanakha give Ravan? No need to kill Ram, just abduct Sita. This was the type of guidance they were giving each other. And when real good advice came from Vibhishan, they couldn't take it. So when we are in good association, Shri Radha Gopinath, so when good association is there around us, then even if we are in negative situations, we will be able to come out of it. We will be able to grow internally as well as externally and progress. But if we are not in the right association, then when we think wrong, there will be 10 others to tell us that what we are thinking is right. Like Duryodhan, when he was wrong, Vidura corrected him. But he had Shakuni to tell him that what he was thinking was right. Similarly, Ravan, he had so many ministers to tell him that what he was thinking was right. That's why he never listened to Vibhishan. So we should have the right association. Fifth one is kinesthetics or action. They say that when we move our body, that is when we do action, yoga, dance, anything, it shakes the cobwebs out of our mind. It makes us think with more clarity. When we move, it makes us, we have to do, when we are in depression or we are upset, we should always do something. We should not sit alone or sit in a place doing nothing, because that makes us more down. I personally, when I am very upset, I clean cupboards. Kaam bhi ho jata hai aur gussa bhi nikal jata hai. Hai na? So we must do something. So I was just analyzing after I read this, that how Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, has given us such a perfect formula, which actually covers all these points. So wonderfully, Srila Prabhupada himself in his own life was so positive. He tried to start a center in Jhansi and he almost got the land. But then there was some government interference and that land was used for building Bharati Vidya Bhavan in Jhansi. And Srila Prabhupada took it as a signal from Krishna that he should go to the west and preach, because that is what his Guru Maharaj had told him. And because of that, today we have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Otherwise, possibly it would have just been Indian Society for Krishna Consciousness. But because of that one so-called failure, where the Jhansi Center could not be established, Krishna Consciousness was established all over the world. So one small failure, he could have played the blame game? No. he was positive. He did what was necessary and acted as an instrument in fulfilling the Lord's desire. So he has given us such a perfect system of chanting, dancing, hearing, singing, associating with devotees. What is chanting? When we say breathing pacifies and cools our mind, what does chanting do? Chanting, we are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Mantra, manastrayate iti mantra. When we chant a mantra, we are able to control our mind. Our mind becomes more pacified, and then we can think peacefully and do what is right. When we hear, we become very positive. We become grateful. We learn to forgive. When we are hearing from the scriptures, we develop good qualities that help us to take the right decisions, which will create a future, very good destiny for us in the future. When we are associating with devotees, what are we doing? We are connecting to people who are living a positive life based on these values and service. Prabhupada gave all of us a chance to serve. Psychologists have analyzed that they say that self-absorption leads to depression. Thinking too much about one's own needs, interests and concerns creates depression. Why are people in US and Japan, the youth, they are going into depression? They have all the facilities, all the possible luxuries that anybody would want, which you think would make you happy. They have it. But still they are suffering. In Japan now there is a disease where they are becoming like machines. They don't want to interact with human beings. Why? Because self-absorption. It's proved that when you are living a very self-centered, selfish life, after some time you are going to become depressed. But on the other hand, when you are leading a life of service, they say that then, this is there, it's not a devotee's words. This is a psychologist, a very renowned psychologist. He says, when you are busy serving others, you have no time or predisposition to think of your own happiness. So Prabhupada gave us this wonderful formula of service, of chanting, hearing, dancing. When we are dancing, what are we doing? We forget all the problems in our life and we are dancing in kirtan. And also it is a yajna. It is an offering to the Lord. So let us thank Srila Prabhupada for giving us such a wonderful formula by which we can lead lives enriched with all these qualities and we can make our future happy and perfect. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions? You're here.
Hare Krishna. You said that about karma, which you had done it in past, you have to fulfill that sins in present. But is it that always, whatever you have done in past, you will have to bear that in present, or in the present also you can nullify.
Yeah, whether you bear in the present also.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some karma that you get immediately. That's called immediate karma. There's some karma that you may not get immediately. For example, Dhritarashtra, he after 50 lifetimes, he got this life of being blind. Because for 50 lifetimes, he didn't have children. Every life, he got enough good karma to have 2 sons. After 50 lifetimes, he accumulated enough good karma to have 100 sons. Then 100 sons could be killed. Aapne bank se loan liya hai 10,000 ka. Aur aapke bank mein kuch hai hi nahi. So how can the bank come to take that money? When you accumulate enough savings, then they will come and say, okay, now give our 10,000 rupees. So they say the mills of God grind very slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. It's very accurate. We try to understand the laws of karma, we will not understand actually. So it is enough to understand that whatever good we are doing, we will get the benefit. Whatever bad we are doing, we will suffer for that. But rather than doing good or bad and getting entangled, if we do what is called as a karma, that is doing everything for the pleasure of the Lord, then we can get free from the cycle of birth and death. Then it's like a cashier who is working for a bank. There may be so many deposits, there may be so many withdrawals, but the cashier doesn't have to pay out of his pocket. He is just a representative of the bank. So if you become instruments in the hands of the Lord by doing service, by doing what the Lord wants us to do, which we will understand when we come into the association of devotees, then we can come out of this cycle of karma. Otherwise, it's very difficult to come out of karmic influence. Something or the other, we do something and we get entangled, whether we want or we don't want. So it can happen in this life, next life, after many lifetimes. Sometimes there is mass karma. Whenever there is a big tragedy, there is an earthquake or there is something that is called mass karma, where many people have to suffer the same karma, they are brought together and it happens at one time. Yes?
Hari Bol Mataji.
Hari Bol.
Thank you for the excellent lecture.
Thank you.
I have a question. How to maintain consistency? Like we hear a good lecture for time, for a few days, we are in that flow, but then, jaise the.
Why do you think I am telling you? Because I am hoping I can maintain consistency. Whenever we hear something good, we have to keep repeating it to others. That way we will remember and we will feel responsible, because now I have spoken, how many girls are there? In front of so many girls. Now I will feel responsible that I have spoken these things in front of so many people. Now I should make a sincere attempt to follow it. I agree. It is very difficult. When we hear, we become very charged up and then we forget. But that is why we need to keep hearing. We have to regularly hear from devotees. Another thing, second thing is that now that we have become conscious, when we do something wrong, we may still do something wrong. We may go from here thinking ki sab abhi main bahut positive hone wali hu. But when you go home and something wrong happens, because of our nature, our conditioning, we may react. But then when we analyze, when we introspect, we realize I should not have done this. We should go and beg forgiveness. When we do that regularly, slowly there will come a time when we will not react so strongly. I assure you, it will happen. It takes time, but it will happen. Because our hearts are hard like rocks sometimes. But wo rock pe bhi dhire dhire pani gir ke, it creates a dent. So if we sincerely have a desire to change, the Lord will provide opportunities for us to hear and also will give us chances to improve. Try again and again. He is very merciful. He gives us many chances to improve. I'm hoping I can improve after this lecture. I don't play this blame game. Anybody else? Yes. Here also there's a question.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Mataji, you said that if you're feeling certain situation is very exploited, like you're getting really very exploited, but you need to realize that it's your own previous karma because of which you're faced, going through that struggle. But so it's your response. Either you get negative or you tolerate. But is it not always good? Like, is it always good to tolerate?
I didn't say that we should tolerate when we are getting exploited. Mm-hmm. I said that we should do the needful. But if somebody is exploiting us, like Indubai Sapkal didn't allow the exploitations to go on, right? She came out of it, she fought for her rights, she did what was necessary. We don't allow ourselves to be exploited. I am talking about certain situations which you just can't change.
Yes.
Right?
But if you can't, you're getting exploited, but you just can't change it.
If you can't change it, that is because of our karma.
Yeah.
But there are still situations in which we can change. We can offer prayers, we can become positive, and there might be some things you can take advice from somebody, and maybe you think that you can't do anything, but there might be something you still can do. It's not that we don't do anything. We just try to not just blame others for our problems. We understand that something I must have done, so I'm suffering. That doesn't mean I go on suffering. I try to do whatever is needed to come out of that suffering. Because ultimately we want to serve. We can serve only when we are all right.
Yes.
Right? So we become all right so we can serve.
Thank you.
This, some girl, last question. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, ma'am. Ma'am, we say that by doing good things in the present, we can improve our karma. But sometimes it doesn't happen. Like if we have bad karma in the previous birth, we suffer it in the present. But if we do good karma, then also it doesn't improve.
One analogy is given. You should actually hear on our iskondesiretree.com. There is the entire Bhagavad Gita course. That course is being conducted in the temple. The title of this lecture is The Laws of Karma. Why do bad things happen to good people? So you should actually hear the entire lecture. Everything will become very clear. But I'll just tell you that there is an example of a farmer where he has a whole tank. And earlier he has put in ration rice, brown rice. And now he's harvested basmati rice. So from up he's putting basmati rice. But when he opens the tap, what will come out? Ration rice. So you think I'm putting basmati par niche se ration rice nikal raha. But after some time that will get exhausted. Then the basmati rice will start coming. Right? But if you think that it's no use and you start putting stones and kankar from out of frustration, after some time that will again come to you. So it's never that what we are doing now will not give us, it will 100%. The laws of karma are perfect. You and I may go wrong. The lawyers, judges in our country may go wrong. Laws of karma never go wrong. It's 100% perfect. Foolproof. No loopholes are there. So whatever good you do, you will definitely get the benefit of that. 100%.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Mataji, for wonderful